All right, let's be real for a second. Have you ever done something totally innocent, only to catch someone giving you that look? You know the one, like they're wondering if you might just be a serial killer in disguise. Yeah, we've all been there. But don't worry, I'm about to reveal the bad habits that make people think you're creepy, and some of these, trust me, you might not even realize you're doing. From innocent oversharing to staring just a little too long, these habits can turn even the nicest person into someone people secretly avoid. Let's dive in so you can stop being the accidental creep in the room. 1. Hovering in someone's personal space. All right, let's kick this off with a classic. Hovering in someone's personal space. You'd think we'd all know about personal space by now, right? Wrong. Some people treat boundaries like they're optional, and honestly, it's one of the quickest ways to make someone's skin crawl. I mean, I've had people get so close I could count the freckles on their face. And trust me, nothing says I'm uncomfortable more than someone edging closer and closer like we're filming a nature documentary about human contact. Here's the controversial part though. Some people actually like being that close. They'll argue, it's just how I connect with people. And while that might sound cute in theory, in reality, you're just becoming the human equivalent of a horror movie jump scare. Once, I was at a party, and I got so into a conversation that I didn't realize I'd drifted into someone's personal bubble. I thought we were having this deep, engaging chat, until they took an awkward step back, and then another. It was like I was herding them across the room. At that moment, I realized, oh no, I'm that guy, the accidental space invader. Let's be real. Nobody likes to feel trapped. People need their breathing room, and if you're standing so close that they can feel your breath, congratulations. You've just crossed into Creepyville, population U. But here's the deeper issue. It's not just about space. It's about respecting someone's comfort zone. When you hover too close, what you're really doing is disregarding their unspoken boundaries. Personal space is more than just physical. It's emotional. It's about giving people the freedom to feel safe and in control of the interaction. And honestly, that's a life lesson beyond just avoiding being creepy. Respecting someone's space is about showing that you care enough to make them comfortable. So, next time you're in a conversation, take a step back, literally. You'll still connect with people, just without the looming threat of them running for the exit. 2. Remembering too many details. Okay, this one's a little controversial because on the surface, remembering details sounds like a good thing, right? You'd think people would be flattered if you recall their dog's name or what they had for lunch last Tuesday. But nope, too many details, and suddenly, you're that person, the one who remembers everything like you're a walking Google search. Spoiler alert, it creeps people out. Let's set the scene. You're catching up with someone you haven't seen in months, and you casually drop, "How's your cat, Mittens, still sleeping under your bed at night?" And they just look at you like, how do you know that? Now they're mentally scrolling through their list of stalkers, wondering how you have this classified information. Here's where it gets funny. I've been that person. I once met someone at a party, and 2 months later I asked them, "So how's your project on sustainable agriculture going?" They froze. The look on their face was priceless, like I'd just hacked into their diary. It's not like I was sitting there taking notes, I just genuinely remembered. But apparently, that made me a little too interested. But here's the twist. Why do we act like it's creepy to remember things about people? Isn't listening a good thing? Society's so obsessed with being distracted and half paying attention that when someone actually remembers the little details, it throws people off. It's like we've normalized not caring enough that caring too much feels invasive. But let's be real, there's a fine line between being attentive and making someone feel like you've got a file on them hidden in your basement. If you bring up something they forgot, you've crossed into yikes, why do you know that territory. people expect casual memory, not Sherlock Holmes-level observation. And I get it. Sometimes you're just genuinely paying attention. I once remembered a friend's favorite ice cream flavor from a random conversation, and months later, I surprised them with it. They didn't find it sweet. They were borderline spooked. Apparently, knowing that they liked mint chocolate chip made me look like I'd been plotting in the background all along. So here's the trick. Remembering details is fine, but use them sparingly. You don't need to list out someone's life story to prove you care. Maybe just stick to the highlights, like remembering their birthday, not the exact date they told you they got a parking ticket. At the heart of it, remembering details is about showing people that they matter to you. But here's the deeper point. No one wants to feel like they're being watched. People like to reveal themselves on their own terms, at their own pace. So while you think you're being thoughtful by recalling every little detail, sometimes it's better to let things unfold naturally. Don't make them feel like you've got a mental dossier on their life. Give them the space to share when they feel like it. So yeah, remembering too many details might seem harmless, but if you go overboard, it can be like turning on a spotlight when people just wanted a candle-lit chat. Keep the memory sharp, but dial down the detective work. 3. Touching people too often. Now, touching people too often. Oh boy, this one's loaded. Some people are all about physical touch and others, not so much. But here's the kicker. Get this wrong, and you're not just a friendly person anymore. You're the person who makes people cringe inside every time you tap them on the shoulder. Ever notice how some people turn every conversation into a touch-a-thon, a pat on the back, a hand on the arm, a playful nudge, even a full-on bear hug? And the next thing you know, everyone's uncomfortable but too polite to say it. Look, I get it. Some of us are just naturally touchy. But here's the harsh truth. Not everyone is into that. Now don't get me wrong. I'm all for a good handshake or a high five. But when you're constantly reaching out to touch someone, you might as well wear a sign that says, "I ignore boundaries for fun." Let's be real. Too much touching can easily veer into creepy uncle at the family reunion territory, and no one wants to be that guy. I remember once I had this colleague who was always super friendly, but he had this habit of tapping people on the shoulder like every 5 minutes during conversations. At first, I thought, okay, maybe he's just really animated. But by the fourth tap, I was thinking, dude, is my shoulder a button you need to press for me to pay attention? It was like Pavlov's dog, but for physical contact. Here's where it gets spicy. Some people will argue that touch is their love language. They'll say it's how they connect with others, how they build rapport. And yeah, maybe that works with your close friends or significant other. But newsflash, most people don't need to be touched every 30 seconds to know you care. In fact, it can make them feel the exact opposite, like you're pushing past their boundaries for the sake of your own comfort. Look, we're not living in the Middle Ages, where a friendly slap on the back was how you sealed a deal. People today value their personal space more than ever, and if you're the type to throw in a hand on the knee while someone's telling you about their day, they're probably wondering if you're trying to connect or if you've just skipped the "don't be weird" chapter in the social handbook. And trust me, I've learned the hard way. I used to be a bit too friendly with my gestures, especially in group settings. I thought it made me seem more approachable. But then I had a friend straight up tell me, "You know, you don't have to touch my arm every time you laugh." And that was my wake-up call. I wasn't being more friendly. I was being unintentionally invasive. So here's the rule of thumb. If you're not close with someone, keep your hands to yourself. You're not a touchy-feely superhero whose power is making everyone feel awkward. A friendly touch is fine, but doing it all the time, that's just going to send them running in the opposite direction. But on a deeper level, this is about more than just physical touch. It's about awareness of how others feel, what makes them comfortable, and what makes them uncomfortable. Because at the end of the day, respecting someone's boundaries, whether they're verbal or unspoken, is one of the simplest yet most powerful ways to show someone that you actually care about them as a person. So yeah, if you're the touchy type, just remember, sometimes the most meaningful connection you can make with someone is by giving them space. Don't let your good intentions turn into a creepy misunderstanding. Touch is powerful, but only when it's welcomed, not imposed. 4. Laughing at the wrong time. All right, let's talk about laughing at the wrong time. Now, we've all been there. Someone says something serious, and for some reason, that's when your brain decides, hey, wouldn't it be hilarious to laugh right now? Cue the awkward stares and the internal screaming, because congratulations, you've just made yourself look like a total psychopath. Now, some people are just wired this way. Nervous laughter, inappropriate giggling. Call it what you want, but nothing kills the mood faster than cracking up in the middle of someone's tragic story about their dog running away. And let's not even talk about the times when people laugh at funerals. Yeah, it happens. Let me tell you a story. I once burst out laughing during a serious conversation with a friend. She was telling me about her horrible day at work, and my brain just short-circuited. I wasn't even laughing at her story. I was laughing because I suddenly remembered something funny that had happened earlier that day. But to her, it looked like I found her misery hilarious. Needless to say, she was not amused, and I had to do some serious damage control to explain why I wasn't a heartless monster. Here's the thing. Some people will argue laughter is the best medicine. Sure, but there's a time and a place for everything, right? Laughing during tense or sad moments can come across as dismissive, like you're trivializing someone's feelings. And the crazy part? Some people don't see this as an issue. They think, hey, if I'm laughing, it must be a good thing. No, dude. Sometimes it's a cue to read the room. But honestly, the issue goes deeper than just bad timing. It's about emotional intelligence, or lack thereof. When you laugh at the wrong moment, what you're really telling people is, I'm not fully present here. It shows that you're not tuned in to what's happening emotionally, and that can come off as seriously creepy. Like, do you enjoy awkward situations? Are you thriving in the discomfort? Because everyone else in the room is just waiting for the floor to swallow you whole. I've been on both sides of this awkward coin. I remember once I was pouring my heart out about a difficult time in my life, and the person listening to me suddenly laughed. I wasn't sure if they were nervous or just completely clueless, but it felt like a punch to the gut. In that moment, I realized how isolating it is when someone responds to your pain with misplaced humor. It's like, great, now I feel misunderstood and embarrassed. So, what's the takeaway here? Laughing is great. We love laughing, but for the love of social decency, if you feel a chuckle coming on at a serious moment, bite your tongue. You don't want to be that person people secretly avoid because they can't trust you to handle sensitive moments with a shred of empathy. But on a deeper level, this is about being present and understanding the emotional cues of the people around you. It's about knowing when to dial it back and when to just listen. Sure, laughter can lighten the mood, but timing is everything. If you can't control your impulse to laugh when it's clearly inappropriate, you're sending the message that you're disconnected from the moment. And trust me, that's a fast track to being labeled the weirdo in your social circle. Remember, you don't have to be the comic relief all the time. Sometimes just being there, quietly and fully, is enough. So next time you feel the urge to laugh when someone's spilling their heart out, don't. Trust me, you'll thank yourself later. 5. Staring without blinking. All right, staring without blinking. This one gets weird real fast. And let's face it, we've all had that moment where we realize we've been staring at someone for way too long. But when you're on the receiving end, it's like being locked in a gaze with someone who's plotting your demise, or at the very least, studying your soul a bit too intensely. Imagine this. You're in a conversation, maybe it's a casual chat, and the person across from you is just staring. No blinking, no breaking eye contact, just pure, unblinking, laser-like focus. At first, you might think, wow, they're really paying attention. But after a few seconds, you're wondering, am I about to be abducted by aliens? It's like that scene in horror movies where the villain stares so intensely, you expect something bad to happen. Well, here's the controversial part. Too much eye contact, especially without blinking, doesn't make you more attentive. It just makes you creepy. I remember this one time when I was at a meeting and this guy just kept staring. I swear he didn't blink once the whole time I was talking. At first I thought, wow, I must be really interesting. But then I started thinking, is he secretly judging me? Is there something on my face? Why won't he just blink? It got to the point where I started blinking more, hoping he'd catch on and do it too. Spoiler alert, he didn't. It was like a staring contest I never agreed to, and it left me feeling uneasy. Now, there's this idea out there that maintaining eye contact shows confidence, right? And yeah, that's true, to a point. But here's where it gets tricky. Society has this weird obsession with alpha behavior, and part of that is the idea that intense eye contact shows dominance. I call BS on that. There's a fine line between confident eye contact and making someone feel like they're being mentally dissected. Let's break it down. Blinking is natural, people. If you're staring without blinking, you're not more focused. You're more disturbing. In fact, refusing to blink or break eye contact makes people feel like they're being studied under a microscope. And nobody wants to feel like they're the subject of a science experiment. You think you're coming across as engaged, but you're really giving off strong serial killer vibes. I've been on both sides of this. Once, I got so caught up in a deep conversation with someone that I didn't realize I'd stopped blinking. They were telling this intense story, and I was so focused on every word. And then suddenly, they got all fidgety and kept looking away, and I was like, wait, what's happening? Turns out, I was the one being creepy. They even asked, are you okay? You haven't blinked in a while. That's when I realized I'd turned into that guy, the one with the unsettling stare. So here's the deal. Eye contact is great in moderation, but nobody wants to be locked in a death stare. You're not asserting dominance, you're asserting, please avoid me at all costs. Trust me, nothing will make someone back away faster than feeling like you're watching their every move like a hawk. But let's dive deeper into this. Eye contact is about connection, not control. It's about sharing a moment with someone, not making them feel like they're trapped under your gaze. In real conversations, there's a natural flow of looking at each other and then looking away, giving the interaction some breathing room. If you're constantly staring, you're missing the whole point of human connection. People need space, both physically and emotionally, to feel comfortable and understood. So next time you catch yourself in an intense stare-off with someone, give yourself permission to blink. Better yet, look away for a second. Trust me, you're not losing their attention. You're giving them a moment to breathe. Remember, eye contact isn't a competition. It's a way to connect, not to intimidate. 6. Texting, right after meeting someone. Ah, the classic nice to meet you ding. Here's a text already. There's nothing quite like meeting someone for the first time, and then before you've even had time to process the interaction, your phone buzzes. Hey, great meeting you. Oh, is it great meeting me? Because I'm still figuring out if I want to hang out again or run the other direction. Look, I'm all for staying connected, but texting someone immediately after you've just parted ways is, how do I put this nicely? It's a little extra, like slow your roll. You literally just met them, and now you're already blowing up their phone. If that's not a one-way ticket to Creepville, I don't know what is. Let's be real. Some people think this is just being friendly, maybe even charming. Like, look how eager I am to build this connection. But here's where I get controversial. It's not charming. It's needy. You barely know them. And now you've forced them into an awkward situation where they have to decide whether to text back right away and come off as too eager themselves, or wait it out and look like they're playing hard to get. Either way, no one wins. It's not a conversation starter. It's a pressure cooker. Let me tell you about this time I made this mistake myself. I met someone at an event and we hit it off. Good vibes, lots of laughs, all that. And then, thinking I was being super smooth, I texted them literally 5 minutes after we'd said goodbye. Something like, "Hey, great chatting, let's grab coffee soon." "Yeah, real original, right?" Their response? Crickets. Nothing. For days. The whole time I'm overthinking like crazy. Did I come on too strong? Was it too soon? Should I have just waited? Answer: yes, yes, and yes. It took me a while to realize that texting right away sends the wrong message. It's like, I've already decided we're going to be best friends or lifelong partners. Hope you're cool with that. When really, the other person might still be in that getting to know you phase, wondering if they even want to text you back at all. The truth is, people need space. Space to reflect on the interaction. Space to decide if they want to take things further, or if they're just happy leaving it as a fleeting conversation. And here's the harsh truth. Texting right after meeting someone can make you look desperate. I said it. It's like you're so afraid of losing that initial connection that you're trying to cement it right away. But instead of coming off as confident, it feels more like you're seeking validation. And we all know that desperation never looks good. You can be the coolest person in the room, but one overly eager text can unravel all that mystery you built up in person. Trust me, I've been on the receiving end of this too. I once had a guy text me before I even got to my car after we met at an event. I could literally see him across the parking lot while I got the message notification. It was like I was being watched in real time. My first thought wasn't, "Wow, this guy's really into me." It was more like, "Why is he so quick to get in touch? Is he going to follow me home too?" It felt off. Needless to say, I didn't text back right away. Or at all. So, what's the solution here? Give it a beat. You don't have to lock in that connection within 5 minutes of parting ways. I promise, if they really want to talk to you, waiting a few hours or even a day won't make them forget you exist. In fact, it'll probably make you seem a little more relaxed and confident. You'll come across as someone who's not in a rush to prove something or force a connection. But on a deeper level, this is about understanding pace in relationships. Whether it's a friendship or something more, real connections take time to grow. Instant communication doesn't make relationships stronger. It can actually make them feel forced. People need time to process their feelings and thoughts about you. And rushing that with rapid-fire texts does nothing but undermine that natural flow. If you're constantly trying to fast-track things, you might be sabotaging a potential connection before it even has a chance to form. So next time you meet someone new and you're tempted to send that, "Hey, great meeting you," text 5 minutes after parting ways. Take a step back. Let the moment breathe. Give them and yourself some space to see if the connection was real or just a fleeting spark. Remember, texting too soon doesn't make you seem more interested. It just makes you seem less patient. And trust me, patience is way more attractive than desperation. 7. Lingering in conversations. All right, let's talk about the people who just won't let a conversation die. You know exactly what I'm talking about. You've said your goodbyes, you've dropped every hint, you've even started walking away. But they just linger. They're hanging on to every last shred of the conversation, trying to extend it like it's their life source. And you're left thinking, Is there a polite way to escape without straight up sprinting out of the room? Look, we all love a good conversation, but there's a difference between having a meaningful chat and overstaying your welcome. I mean, once the conversation has naturally run its course, the key word is naturally. But some folks act like they're at a concert and the headliner's already played their encore, but they're still chanting for one more song. It gets uncomfortable. And here's where it gets tricky. Society tells us to be polite, to stay engaged, to make sure everyone feels heard. But there's the rub. Sometimes lingering in a conversation doesn't make you more engaged. It just makes you annoying. Let's be honest, people don't always want endless small talk. They've got other places to be, things to do, and clinging to a conversation can come off as needy or worse, desperate for attention. I'll never forget this one time I ran into an old acquaintance at a cafe. We did the usual catch-up. Hey, how have you been? You know, the polite stuff. After about 10 minutes, I was mentally ready to wrap it up and move on with my day. But this guy, he just kept talking. Every time I tried to end it, he'd loop back with another question or story. It got to the point where I was doing that awkward side shuffle, inching toward the door, but he was completely oblivious. It was like he'd trapped me in a conversational maze with no exit. It wasn't that I didn't enjoy the chat initially, but the longer it dragged on, the more forced it felt. And here's the thing, when you overstay in a conversation, it goes from being enjoyable to feeling like a chore. It's like holding someone hostage in your verbal clutches. You might think you're bonding, but really, you're just testing their patience. Here's where I'll get real. Some people linger in conversations because they're scared of that silence after. They're terrified of what happens when they're not filling the space with words. Maybe they think the longer they talk, the more likable they become. But actually, it works the opposite way. Less is more. No one's ever thought, wow, they just wouldn't stop talking. I like them even more now. I've definitely been guilty of this myself. I remember after a work event where I was networking and I was just so nervous. So, I lingered in every conversation thinking, maybe if I keep talking they'll like me more or invite me into their circle. Spoiler alert, that's not what happened. Instead, I could feel people zoning out, looking for a way to escape while I kept trying to extend the chat. I didn't realize that I was digging a hole that made me seem desperate to connect rather than confident. It's not that people don't enjoy a good conversation, it's that most of us value quality over quantity. If you keep talking just for the sake of it, the conversation loses its spark. You're not adding anything new, you're just dragging it out. It's like that guest at a party who just won't leave. At first, you're happy they came, but when they're still there 2 hours later, eating the last of the chips, you're ready to gently show them the door. On a deeper level, lingering in conversations reflects a fear of being forgotten or overlooked. It's the fear that if you stop talking, people will move on from you. But here's the truth. The strongest connections aren't built on how much you talk, but how well you communicate. A short, meaningful exchange is more memorable than an endless stream of words that goes nowhere. People will remember you not for how long you stuck around, but for the impact you made while you were there. I've learned the hard way that it's better to leave a conversation while it's still good, while people are still interested. Now, I cut my conversations shorter, leave them wanting more, as they say. There's this power in knowing when to stop. It's like a great movie that ends on a high note. You walk away feeling fulfilled rather than exhausted. So, here's the takeaway. Don't be the conversational lingerer. Know when to wrap it up. It's not about cutting people off, but respecting the natural flow of communication. If you feel like you've made your point, if you've had a good back and forth, trust that it's enough. You don't have to overstay your welcome to leave an impression. In fact, knowing when to step away might make you even more memorable. All right, so there you have it. Bad habits that might just be making you seem a little creepy. Look, we all have our quirks, but the key here is awareness. Sometimes the smallest things, like lingering in a conversation, texting too soon, or even just standing a little too close, can be the difference between being seen as charming or, well, not so much. But hey, the good news, we can all work on this. No one's perfect, and maybe you recognized a couple of these habits in yourself. That's okay. It's part of what makes us human, learning, evolving, and figuring out how to navigate the weirdness that is social interaction. At the end of the day, the real message here is about balance. Connecting with others is a dance. You have to know when to step forward and when to step back, when to engage and when to give space. And sometimes the most powerful thing you can do is simply be present without overthinking every move. I've learned through my own awkward moments, and trust me, there've been plenty, that it's not about being perfect. It's about being genuine. People appreciate realness far more than they appreciate someone trying too hard. So, the next time you're in a conversation or meeting someone new, just remember, relax, breathe, and don't feel the need to rush or force anything. The best connections come naturally. So, which habit hit close to home for you? Let me know in the comments. And hey, if you think someone you know might benefit from this list, go ahead and share it with them. Just maybe wait a few minutes before sending that text, all right? Thanks for watching. Make sure to subscribe, hit that like button, and I'll see you in the next video. Without lingering, I promise.